You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Welcome to another edition of the Bleed Blue Show with Doom Radio, AFC East, NFC East Divisional Breakdown with Doom Radio, Bleed Blue Show. Doom Radio, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm out here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we was having a little bit of technical difficulties. You can hear me now, correct?
Hold me try something because you're repeating.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, I think it might have been my headphones, so I just got to hold the phone, that's all.
Okay, all right, cool, man. AFC East, NFC East Divisional Breakdown with Doom Radio. You can check out all the other divisional breakdowns, AFC North, NFC North, AFC West, NFC West, AFC South, NFC South, in the archives of iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in, Divisional Breakdown with Doom Radio. Let's get right into it, Doom Radio. Last and certainly, definitely not least, the AFC East, the NFC East. Man, I know we have a lot to say because these are teams within our own respective divisions. Let's start with the AFC first. Right now, let's roll with the Bills, the Buffalo Bills. Without further ado, to get the owner passes away, gets new ownership, new head coach comes over from the New York Jets. We all know is Rex Ryan, and they made a lot of changes in the offseason, starting with the trade with sending Kiko Alonso to Philadelphia in exchange getting LeSean McCoy running back. They added free agent acquisitions like Charles Clay from the Miami Dolphins, new quarterbacks, a quarterback carousel, Matt Castle, Tyrod Taylor, who actually been named the starter for the Buffalo Bills. Fred Jackson was actually cut today. But tell me how you look at, because these teams are teams we have to really look at twice a year. So how do you look as a fan opposed to against the Buffalo Bills this season as far as the additions they have made?
I have to say I like most of the Bills' decision. I like Rex Ryan going there. I felt that he walks into a very, already strong defense. I think his scheme will work well there. The acquisition of McCoy was big because, you know, he's a smash-mouth type of coach. Strong defense, good run game, sounds like a go. The big question mark for these guys is quarterback. Tyrod Taylor. I've never heard of this guy. You know,
Quarterback. He was a Virginia Tech quarterback a few years back. I played backup to Joe Flacco prior season.
Okay. Not sold.
He was a decent quarterback in college.
They have the weapons. They have receivers. They have the running back. It rests all on his shoulders. That's the best thing I could say. And the most important part on your offense is unproven. So that's the one thing I have to say that where the Bills lack. That's where the Bills lack.
It's a quarterback position.
Yeah.
Let's talk about their strengths. Obviously, it's on the defensive side of the ball, led by Mario Williams, defensive end. You have you send Kiko Alonso, who was pretty much injured, coming off the injury last year. But then you have pretty much a strong secondary. You got defensive tackle Kyle Williams. You got, you have the other linebacker cat for the Buffalo Bills. His name kind of loses me right now. Yeah, Preston, that's what it was, Preston.
Okay.
You got Jerry Hughes. I mean, they run the 3-4. They rotate Corbin Bryant and B.J. Larson with Mario Williams and Kyle Williams. And then Jerry Hughes coming off the edge. And then you throw in Leodis McKelvin, who's been real effective with them the last couple of years. Even their secondary. I remember last year, Jarius Bird went – away in free agency, but it seemed like the secondary was just aggressive. They're fast back there with Stephon Gilmore and Corey Graham, Aaron Williams. Tell me how you feel about that defense for the Bills.
Like you said, man, I think it is perfect for Rex Ryan. I'm really, you know, as a Patriots fan, I'm not ready to see, you know, Rex bring the house while his corners are, like, going one-on-one. You know, Rex just likes to put pressure on people, and I think he has the personnel to do it. I really can't wait to see what he does with Williams. I think that's going to be really exciting. I can say it's going to probably be exciting to watch. And, you know, with Rex, his defenses are normally top five, top six defenses. Very rare that he's outside of that. So I just think that it's going to even strengthen already strong defense with the personnel he has and the coach behind it. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. That's all I can say.
And taking over from Doug Marrone, you think there's anything he's going to even add to an already stellar defense that they already got? What else could he bring to the defense that they already don't have?
I think it's just pressure. Like, that's one thing Rex is really good at. He knows when to bring the pressure, and when he brings it, it's just like a swarm. It's like all of a sudden, you know, you just don't see the quarterback no more. He's just at the bottom of a pile or it works against the run and the pass, which is scary because you would think, oh, run at it. No, doesn't work. You know, it's just like I think it's just his attitude is what he's going to bring to that defense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to get back to the defense in a few, but on the offensive side of the ball, you have they added Percy Harvin to the mix. Speaks to Robert Woods, and they also remember Sammy Watkins, who was a rookie last year that they went up in the draft to go get. And then, of course, adding LeSean McCoy as far as from the trade with Philadelphia. What do you think about the skill sets right there? And, of course, the track field star Marquise Goodwin. They have a lot of speed on the outside. But what's your thoughts about the wide receiver core? It's real fast.
Well, like I said, I like the personnel. I think everything around them is great. They definitely could stretch it. I think, like, I don't know how healthy McCoy is. I think they're saying he should start week one, but I don't know if that's going to be, like, he's starting at 100% week one, 80% week one. But I would like to see him at 100 just to see what that offense really can do, because I would really like to see them, like you said, with that speed to suck them into eight man in the box, and now they're getting one-on-ones on the outside or mismatches with that speed. I would really like to see how they can stretch the field with those guys.
Yeah, and like you said, the quarterback position is the huge question mark on it. They did add Incognito from the Dolphins, or wherever he was coming from, in between that bully gate crap they were going. They had Cordy Glenn on the outside with Centrell Henderson and Miller. I mean, Eric Wood is still there at the center. I mean, they got a decent line. It's not bad. It's not too shabby. They're like one of the middle of the pack line. But adding LeSean McCoy, Anthony Dixon, who's a backup running back on the team, and he's familiar with Bryce Brown, who's there with Philly. Tyrod Taylor, you say you don't know a lot about him. I think he's getting that opportunity. I mean, actually a little bit of a shocker, because I thought this was Castle's job to lose. Or actually, Castle, then Manuel, then Taylor. The fact that I thought he was three out of four quarterbacks on that roster, I'm surprised he is actually getting a start. But I think they showed him a lot in preseason that he did a couple things in the Cleveland game and even in the last preseason game when they put up points against the Steelers. But your thoughts as far as why the quarterback is the most questionable for you in your opinion, and if it got average play, what is the ceiling for the Buffalo Bills?
They get average play. I'll say this, with average play, but that average play is at least some good, like, deep threat bombs where they can stretch the field, maybe get some big plays, like one or two big plays, like maybe leading to a touchdown in game. They'll be a bubble team for the playoffs, I feel. I think their quarterback has to be above average for them to make the playoffs in my eyes, just due to the fact the rest of the conference of the AFC. I just don't, like, you know, it's one of those things where you need a quarterback to go to the Super Bowl, or you need one hell of a defense, like those defensive teams that won Super Bowls had. But, you know, you just, if you're just average, I don't see an average quarterback taking someone to the playoffs, let alone to the Super Bowl. So that's why I see them, especially in that division.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Shady McCoy is going to have a if I were to throw out a number at you, 1,200 yards, you think he's able to get 1,200 yards in his offense with the Buffalo Bills? 1,200.
You know, that's where the question mark comes in, because if they get down for some reason and, you know, Taylor has to keep throwing, obviously, you know, McCoy's not going to be getting the ball that much. If they can set the pace where, you know, McCoy is setting the pace, they're running the ball, stopping people on defense, I could definitely see 1,200. But if they're getting shaky quarterback play with interceptions and going down early or mid-game, I can see them. I can see him get under 1,000 yards if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't even think the Buffalo Bills. I don't see them down big in a lot of games. I could see them down. Even if they're down, they're not going to be down by more than two scores. And because of that reason alone, I think the defense can keep them in, within games. They're still going to be able to run the ball the way I think they still can, whether it's going to be him, Dixon, or even with that option with Tyrod Taylor. I think this defense is built for the cold weather, and I think they're built for a playoff spot. Because it's going to be a tough division, because I think the AFC East is very competitive this season. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things off the field has even helped shape it from what we get when we get to your team a little later in the podcast on a possible four-game suspension if it's upheld, making this division closer than what it is. But let's get on to the next team. But if you had to get a 1 out of 10 for the offense and the defense for the Buffalo Bills, and don't forget about the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who came over from the 49ers too. I think he's not that bad. I think he can take a guy like Colin Kaepernick and make him good. I think he could do not as great with Tyrod Taylor, but he's shown he could work with a quarterback with that type of style. 1 out of 10 offense and the defense for the Bills.
Defense, I'm going to give them 9. I think what they have with Rex is just going to be a problem. I'm going to give them a 7 on offense, because if they gave Taylor the go, he must be doing something right in practice that we're not seeing yet, that he bumped over the two, like, what everybody thought was going to be the battle for. So I think there's something he has that, you know, the reason they're going to put him in there.
I will give the Buffalo Bills defense a definite 9. They're a top 5 defense in the NFL. And the offense, on which you had a 7, and they're only a 7 because of the quarterback. Outside of that, they'd be a strong 8.5, 9. I mean, they have weapons on the outside like almost any team, running back position. They're underrated loaded. I mean, Harvin, Watkins, Goodwin, Robert Woods, and McCoy. That's a lot to handle. But that only depends on the quarterback play. So we'll rank them a little bit later. Let's get on to the Fins, the Miami Dolphins. And now this team is another team that is kind of like stocked with defense. They got the new vice president of operations, former general manager of the New York Football Jets, Mike Tannenbaum. They, of course, number one, you can't mention the Miami Dolphins without even mentioning the free agent acquisition of Adamica Sue from the Detroit Lions. They added some nice players in the draft, like Jordan Phillips from Oklahoma, Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. They still got the running back, Lamar. How are you looking at the Miami Dolphins? Now, here's a couple things. Deion Jordan, who's kind of somewhat been of a bust, he's suspended for the first few games of the year, but they still have Cameron Wake on that line. What's your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins?
It's so funny you brought up Jordan, because I was going to say that if this is any time for him to, like, become what everybody thought he was going to be, it's going to be with Sue on that line. He should have a lot of opportunities to get one-on-ones now. when he comes back off his suspension, I think this is going to be his year where he either is finally labeled, definitely he's a bust, or he's going to show the potential that everybody thought. You know, they were calling him the next Jason Taylor there, and he has not been that at all. So I think with that D-line, I mean, Sue is just a one-man powerhouse, so that's just scary for everybody in the East. On top of that, you know, I think they still got those big corners out there, which just gives everybody trouble. It's going to be very interesting with Sue in there. Very interested.
Mm-hmm. And also with the Dolphins, where they added a bunch of free agents, like Greg Jennings from Minnesota, who was former Green Bay Packer. That fire sale, what they were doing in down in New Orleans. Kenny Stills ends up in Miami. They also drafted Devontae Parker. Now, he's kind of banged up. What kind of expectations you have on him? I'll get to the defense after your offense. And they remember they signed Mike Pouncey to that contract, too. They extended him. Even added Jordan Cameron, the tight end from the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I think they did a nice little pieces and still got Lamar Miller. Jarvis Landry, they got some nice pieces, man. It's not bad. So, do you fear the Dolphins' offense? Do you fear Ryan Tannehill?
I feel like Tannehill really did well at the end of last year. I want to say that he really picked up his game. He started looking like he was trying to, you know, knock at the elite door. How he started playing at the end of last year. I hope he could carry that over this year. I feel like it's his job now to either mess up or to do well. Because they did, like you said, they did a really good job putting weapons around him this year. You know, I really like Stills. I just read something that they're pushing Stills like to kind of like get a premier spot in the offense. Greg Jennings is a great, you know, veteran position player nowadays. It really gave him some strong assets to really push him to the next level. And now I feel it's on his shoulders to utilize him, if that makes sense.
I think when he came from A&M a few years back, I think he's starting to settle in last year under Joe Philbin's system. There's some games like he looked pretty good. That first game of the year when they played the Patriots, they looked good as a team, and he looked very confident. It's like the Dolphins over the years seem like they start off okay and they kind of fade. I don't know, man. This year might be one of those years if they might be able to put it together to get that playoff spot. I really the offense is all right. You know, they have popped Devontae Parker, as I stated before. They had Kenny Stills. They added Jarvis Landry. I expected to do some decent things. I like that tight end pickup too, man, Jordan Cameron, because I think that's a nice little security blanket for Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely say he's easily second best QB in that conference, without a doubt.
In the division.
You know, division. Like, we don't have to question Tannehill. Like, we're like, okay, he has what he needs. He did well last year. Now, can he make the push? It's on him now. You know, whereas we're saying, oh, can Taylor be the guy? We don't have to say that with Tannehill. We can say, now Tannehill has to push it. It's on him now. It's not, you know, oh, does he have receivers? Does he have a running back? No, he has it. Now, what are you going to do with it is the question, pretty much.
Yeah, you mentioned Brent Grimes, and he's an all-pro corner, and he's come a long way. He was a former Atlanta Falcon, and he had the limited opportunities because it's pretty much his height was the knock on him. But he's been proven to play against top receivers and line up against them. I remember one game they played Calvin Johnson or the Detroit Lions and Calvin Johnson, and he held his own against them, made some key defensive plays in that secondary. And they might even give him an opportunity to jump some balls knowing they got a hell of a defensive line. Now, let me ask you this. If you're an offensive line, how the hell do you defend Cameron Wake, Dominic Sue, Earl Mitchell, and Oliver Vernon on that defensive line? Like, what do you do, man? Like, you pray? Do you meditate before the game? Like, what do you do against that?
You eat
your
Wheaties.
And that's not even including the stunts and blitzes that come in with the linebackers like Jelani Jenkins. So what do you do it against this team, man?
Yo, you eat your Wheaties. You eat whatever power bar is legal to eat. And you pray. You pray to a few guys. You hope for a good day. You hope for a wet field or something so they might slip a little bit here and there. You need some help. I think they're going to have to have some kind of fast-paced offense to keep them off balance. I'm pretty sure they have to play the Eagles. That'll be really interesting to see how they match up with that fast-paced offense and see if they can wear down that defensive line. I definitely think you can't give that defensive line time. I think you got to rush them. I think that's going to be the key to get around it because – if you go into the huddle for 20 seconds and let them set up, change linebackers, and maybe sub out somebody on the D-line, I think you're going to be in for a long, long day.
Yeah, this is going to be real interesting in that division. I'm going to be paying attention to a lot of these AFC East divisional matchups. And it really comes down to Tannehill, honestly. When I look at it, that's easy to say for any team with a quarterback. Because, in my opinion, what separates Buffalo and Miami is the quarterback. I think Tannehill is a lot better than what anything Buffalo is going to throw at you. It's going to be. I can't even wait to those matchups with Buffalo and Miami when they play twice a year. That's going to be fun, man. I'm not exactly sure if they're on national TV. I'm pretty sure they probably throw them once on national TV. I know they have played a Thursday night game a year ago, or was it 2 years ago? They played two defenses just knocking each other around, man. It's good to see that division back because you remember those years with Marino versus Kelly. It's kind of almost got that feeling again, you know? It's like almost 20 years removed with that rivalry with those two types of teams. It's like they're almost back. It's like going back in time with these two teams.
It's getting there, especially with these defenses, man. These defenses getting nuts. They're definitely pushing it with these defenses. Yeah, they don't have a prime time game against the Bills, actually.
Okay.
Both Sunday, one and one at 4.
If there was a guy not named Ryan Tannehill on the offense that needs to have a huge season to have the Dolphins have a chance, who is he? What's his name?
If they need someone else outside Ryan Tannehill?
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Cameron. I think that Cameron will be that guy that if it's someone that blows up that offense, it'll be him. I think he could do a lot of damage down the seam, a lot of damage inside the defense. Like you said, a great security blanket. He could be a great first down pickup kind of guy. Or if he gets a bad mismatch on a linebacker and just takes him right down the seam, that could be deadly. I definitely think that is like where they can get the best matchups at.
Yeah. So let's get a scoring rating for the offense and the defense. 1 out of 10 for the Dolphins.
I mean, I'm going to do this for almost the whole conference. Got to give them a 9 on the defense. Offense, I'm going to give them an 8, actually. I'm going to give them an 8 because they have all the pieces. I mean, like you said, they got at least three. They got 3 receivers, a tight end, and a running back, and a quarterback. They got everything filled. On paper, they look like a strong play, like, you know, great team to make the playoffs. And even, I'll say this, they have a great shot at taking this division this year.
I'm going to give them a 9 on the defense, the offense. It's somewhere between a 7 and 8. For rounding up purposes, for math, I'll round up to an 8. I'm with you. But I don't think really a full 8, but I don't think they're a 7. So I'm really thinking they're somewhere in between. But let's jump to the Jets, Jets, gangrene. New head coach Todd Bowles, new offensive coordinator Chan Gailey. They have, like, new quarterbacks all over the place. Now, here's the thing. We all know the situation with Geno Smith and his altercation with a teammate. And that's another thing that's going to be a fun thing, that storyline between Bill scooping up the guy that the defensive guy that punched Geno Smith. But what do you think about the Jets, man? We know their defense is loaded. They're mm-hmm. another team that's defense is pretty good, pretty stout. They added the draft pick from Southern California, Leonard Williams. They re-signed David Harris. Let's see, Revis Island comes mm-hmm. over, brings hardware from the Patriots. Cromartie comes back to the team. Tell us about the Jets defense that you're feeling, and we'll get into the offense in a few. But tell us about the Jets defense in your eyes.
I've actually had to say I have got to see him play. I have seen Williams actually get a sack and a safety. The dude looks like a young monster. He looks like a curse or a Sweeney when they first came in the league. Pretty scary. I mean, he has Revis locking down one side of the field behind him. He has Cromartie on the other side. I mean, like you said, they can literally rush four and back up. They can blitz. I really feel like that defense by players is definitely strong. I really want to see what the coach does with them, because that's what I'm not sold on about that defense. But personnel-wise, they are just loaded and looking good so far. And offense, though, man, that offense is, I don't know, man. Kind of a mess to me. It is a mess to me.
Well, why is it a mess? Let's talk about the mess called their offense. Now, Brandon Marshall comes over for Chicago Bears. He's probably going to be the number one receiver, Eric Decker. Mm-hmm. They got some old guys. They got some old-timers on that line. The Brickishaw Ferguson is still at left tackle. He's been there for a long time. Eric Mangold is still the center. Carpenter came over from Seattle a while. They got Willie Colon from Pittsburgh. The offensive line is kind of old to me. But the run game, they got a whole slew of nice – they got a bunch of running backs that are like B-level running backs. Guys who just get the job done. Chris Ivory, Bilal Powell, Zach Stacy from the Rams. Even Richardson came over from St. Louis. And even Ridley, even though he's pucked. They have a slew of running backs, so you know they're going to be ground and pound. But what about this offense that you're saying, like, it doesn't really excite me?
Well, like you just mentioned the running backs. They're all, to me, all those running backs are complement running backs. You know, Ridley was a premier running back before he got injured. Ivory always looked good when he came in on second, third down, or late in the game when he's going against a tired defense. Powell, you know, they're like you said, B-rank. They've been complimentary backs most of their career. Now they're trying to be the premier back. It's really not working that well. And then you have, like, Fitzpatrick is the quarterback right now. And...
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he could throw it. He has those games, but he throws a lot of interceptions. He's not someone that's going to bring you to playoffs. I just never felt that way about him. He's a stat guy almost. You know, if you need somebody on a good matchup for fantasy football, you know, they're playing a bad defense, yeah, pick him up. He might have like 500 yards, but the next game he'll have 200 yards and four interceptions. So they just... Between quarterback and running back, that backfield, good weapons on the outside, but really no one to get them the ball consistently or to take pressure off them.
Do you think Brandon Marshall, Jeremy Curley, Eric Decker, Jeff Cumberland, even if you want to add Jason Morrow, the weapons on the outside, even the running backs, it's decent. I think it's pretty decent. But it's because of the quarterback. I mean, it's not because it's Fitzpatrick's fault, honestly. I think because of the what happened with Geno Smith, because he was projected to be the starter. Not like he was Joe Namath the second or anything. But as far as Fitzpatrick, you don't think he's going to get it done, or even Bryce Petty to back up, even if he gets some snaps, whether it's going to be fighting with Matt Flynn. You just don't see what the quarterback play. That's what it comes down to. Almost similar to the Bills.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar, but minus a premier back in McCoy. You know, they don't have that either. So it's just, like, I actually think they're going to do better with Fitzpatrick, if that just blows your mind. I think if they had Geno in there, I think it would have been a mess. I think it would have been a total mess.
So it's kind of more like addition by subtraction. You think because Geno Smith got hurt, it actually was better for the Jets?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
I don't know. It seems like they have a lot of faith in Geno. I guess he must have been doing busting his butt in the off season. You know, we don't get to see everything, you know. But me personally, seeing how he's played the past 2 years, no faith in the guy. He has the greatest tendency of throwing interceptions when you definitely don't need that interception thrown. When you need him, I feel like he's never there. You know, it's like, okay, we need this first down. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Geno Smith. I don't feel like he would have ever got the job done.
But the thing with this team is more, this is all about their defense. We should have been spending more time with the defense and pay more homage and respect to them. Let's start with, they had a little incident with Sheldon Richardson, arguably their best defensive lineman. I mean, this defense had the ability to be a top three defense because of his shenanigans and him driving 140 miles per hour in a Bentley in Missouri. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He had a handgun or something crazy. And plus, he got suspended for the weed in the offseason. So who knows what's going to happen with him. But imagine the force they could have had if you rotated him with Leonard Williams, Stephen Bowen, Muhammad Wilkerson, and then David Harrison, and then add Quentin Copeland to that mix, and then add the linebackers, Calvin Pace and David Harris will return, and then you already know who you got on the outside with Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. This is crazy, man. Like, how good is this defense? Oh, yeah, Jason Babin's a speed rusher, too. He's coming on. Mm-hmm. He's on that team, too, in that rotation. So how good could this defense be, man?
I will have to put them, they're going to end up between 5-7 in defense this year, and the only reason is because their offense can't hang on to the ball. If they can find a way, even just to pound it on the ground somehow, just take time off the clock.
For the record, you mean in total defense, or you mean points in defense?
Total defense.
What do you mean?
Total defense. Total. I think they're gonna.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get tired late in games and give up big plays and stuff. I can see like stuff is gonna slip through, just from mental errors, you know, missing an assignment, something like that, late in games, because they're just gonna get worn down from their offense not keeping them off the field. I feel like they're going to be on the field way too much.
Wow, that's a good way of looking at that. I actually have higher expectations with the defense, even how even you said it. I definitely understand where you're coming from. I'm even going the extra route of saying they're a top. They're definitely top five, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
See, if Sheldon Richardson was there, they'd probably be the best defense in the league. But because of his absence, that missing body, those extra snaps that could have been distributed somewhere else on that roster, he could make a big difference as far as run defense, getting after the quarterback. But that's still top five, no matter how you look at it. I mean, that's still – I mean, any team will take that. So we're really nitpicking between spot number one and spot number five. And you had it as worse as number seven. I mean, you're still top 10 defense, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like I just said, the only reason I give them that is because of their offense. I think if they had the Bills' offense, I could easily say they're top three, you know, without a doubt. Easily.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
with that personnel, easily top three. Like, they'll be fighting for number one, easily. But I see the ball in the other guy's hands way too much.
Business-wise and transact, before we get to the scorecard, but what about Revis' impact coming back to the Jets? You think he's going to bring that intangible of that Super Bowl ring from an arch rival to the team to get that motivation to get them into the playoffs with Todd Bowles as their head coach?
No. And that's just because he might bring that attitude, he might bring that mentality, but once again, I don't think the offense has the skill to manifest that attitude and mentality to make it come true. You know, you can call out championship, Super Bowl in the huddle every down, But, you know, if you don't have it, you don't got it. You know, it's like me trying to dunk on LeBron James. It ain't never going to happen.
Gotcha, gotcha. Final score,
yeah.
Offense, defense for the New York Jets.
Defense, easily a 9. And offense, I'm giving it a 6.
Defense is a 9. Offense is, I might be leaning towards a 7. I think they have enough running backs, ground and pound, to offset the liabilities of the quarterback. It's not the great quarterback, like you said. I'm not as down with the who's running the offense as you may be, but you're more of the AFC East guy, and maybe I'm a little naive. So I'm going to roll with a 7 with the offense, 9 with the defense. And last but certainly not least on the division of the AFC East, the Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. I should just let you go ahead and run with this. Doom Radio, that's your squad. I mean, it really – when I look at the Patriots, it really, okay, all I need to know, is Tom Brady playing those 4 games or not? Is he going to get upheld this week? It starts there on how they finish in the division. He gets all 16 games, the Patriots win the division. If he doesn't, it's up for grabs.
Yeah, I mean, you know – I mean, all right, I'm biased. I got to be this way. I am biased.
Yeah, of course you are. I can't be hypocritical because there's my team down the line I got to get to. So go ahead.
No, I feel you. But I really like the 4 games that we have to play without. If you know, we have till Friday before the final decision is out. But if it's like set in stone, the 4 games that we have to play without Brady, I feel very, very comfortable.
And who you got on the schedule? Who do you have?
We start with the Steelers with pretty much a brand-new defense. So I think, you know, it's going to come down to both offenses to do their thing. You know, Steelers and Patriots.
No way. Without Tom Brady, you're beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, even at home on ring night. No
hey,
way.
Man, you say that now, man.
Garoppolo gets it done. No way. But go, who's the other team on the schedule? I'm sorry.
Then we go to the Bills for week 2, which, the best part about that game is that it is September. It won't be snowing, and the weather will be nice, at least.
Okay. What about games 3 and 4?
Then we're home for the Jaguars, which I think is a great game early on. And then we're away for the Cowboys, which I feel very confident about.
Okay, okay. All right, that's not too bad. I mean, I can see 2-2 without Brady on that, or even at best 3-1. But let's talk about the additions to your team, or even the subtractions. We know a lot of guys kind of departed. Browner's gone. Revis is gone. Those are your 2 cornerbacks right there.
Yeah.
You added veteran wide receiver Reggie Wayne. Edelman's coming back. Nate Solder's still on the line. Who else is on that line for you guys? Is Josh Klein still on the line? Yeah, I think he still is. Stork. Of course, Gronk, the big tight end.
Yeah.
Who's your running backs this year, guy? I didn't even really look into it. I think it's still
got,
Blunt still out there?
Blunt, I believe he's out for the first 2 games, suspension-wise.
Okay, who's the best?
Yeah. Then Gray and Jay White, I still believe. I think there might be another guy.
Oh, Jonas Gray, the dude
those
that ran for like 200 yards on the Colts last year.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
just
he don't I know Belichick is crazy like that. You run for 200 yards, Castle was getting him for the fantasy football team. He ain't played the next week. Like, what the hell? Belichick funny for that. Okay,
yeah,
your offense. It's not too shabby. I know. They still – is it Brandon LaFell? Isn't he, like, hurt?
Brandon LaFell.
Like he pupped?
I don't think so. I'm not too sure. I haven't seen anything on him. But I really
– okay.
The only thing that's really – because I haven't dig deep lately. So I've just been – obviously, every time I go anywhere, you see Brady right on the cover. So with the whole suspension thing. So I've been seeing most about that and stuff like that, rather than the stuff I really need to be looking at.
You know, see, when I think of Patriots, man, it's like the linebackers, Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Vrabel. They always don't. They don't have like all world linebackers. They have linebackers to get it done. So you have those generational linebackers from like 10, 15 years ago, and then now you got Jamie Collins, you got Chandler Jones, Jerod Mayo. I mean, those are an excellent, excellent, good linebackers that you guys got going. And then of course the Super Bowl hero, Butler. He should be starting this year, and they actually gave the new contract to Devin McCourty. Tell us about tell the world, Dune Radio, about your linebackers and your cornerbacks. And you got Rod Ninkovich coming off the edge.
And I think we got Spikes back for some reason. I'm pretty sure that he came back to the squad. The Florida,
Brandon Spikes,
I believe he came back.
Okay.
So I feel like Chandler Jones, I really like what he did last year. He went from linebacker to D-end. Who am I thinking of? I'm messing up. I like Chandler Jones. Let's stick with that. I can't think of the name now. I just went blank. But I really like, we really filled in the gaps, especially when Mayo went down last year. We kind of rotated some guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy Mayo's coming back off of injury. It was kind of quite amazing that we won the Super Bowl without him. Definitely going to miss Vince Wilfork, but we definitely tried to fill his shoes.
Yep.
Got to see how that happens. You know, we let him go. He's on Texans now. And got a rookie to fill his shoes, big boy. Pretty much, you know, right now is the same setup as Wilfork, but we just got to see, Wilfork came in his rookie year just doing what he was doing for his whole career. So not sure if he's going to have an immediate impact like that. I hope so. You always hope for that. So I would like to see what that does. But Chandler Jones was a great asset last year because he actually added that pressure that we really needed. And I think that also came from Revis and Browner doing a really good job on the ends that gave him a little, another second or two to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel you on that.
So I really want to see how this plays out. We've done this a lot where we get rid of our starting corners. We've done it with Asante Samuel and Gay and Wilson and those guys. We did it with Law and Lawyer Malloy. We definitely have this tendency of shipping out our corners or letting them go like after a Super Bowl or after a really good year or a really good defense. So we've always seemed to refill it. I just hope we can do it one more time.
Gotcha. Okay, sky's the limit. The Patriots, how do you stack up in the division? Actually, before we even get to that, 1 out of 10 offense, defense for your team. I know there's going to be a little inflation to your bias, but what's the offense and defensive scores?
Personally, I feel I'm not trying to be as biased. I'm trying to be really realistic.
Okay.
Even though I'm not, I want to see what my secondary could do, I'm still going to give them an 8 because I like that we can actually put some pressure on the QB. Hopefully it gets upheld, and I like our linebackers. Definitely a question mark in the backfield still, but I think Belichick's going to get it done, and that's why I'm giving him 8, because Belichick is the coach. And I got to give him an 8 for offense, because even though Brady's going to miss the first 4 games, he's going to come back. Brady, Gronk, Edelman, LaFell, I think Reggie Wayne's going to be a solid pickup. Might not have stellar stats, but definitely key moments. I just think we're probably the most rounded team in the division.
I agree with the rounded part. Yeah, you're right. Defense is without those corners, you would be a solid 8. It's still an 8. I think I put them in the 8 because it's really hard to sell them at a 7. I put at 8 because it would be even higher if they would have kept those lockdown corners, but the linebackers are solid, and they're a very solid bunch. I like them. They're solid because of the experience, the head coach, Patricia, the defensive coordinator. I think they just got the experience, and they've been there, and I think that those are some little intangibles that's going to help them get along the way. The offense is an 8. It's definitely an 8. So that's what I agree with you. They're balanced. They're both offense and defensively. They're not really there's not really too much of weaknesses over there. You just got to kind of like have to really battle them out. Now, here's the main question you already know. AFC East, 1 through 4, how would you rank them?
Oh, man. I'm go. All right, Jets are bottom of the barrel. Jets are 4. Even with that defense, I don't see them being third or second. Oof, man, after that, man, it gets rough. Bills third, because of quarterback, and then I'm just going to be biased, Miami, and then we're taking it.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Until Brady is retired, this is the Patriots. It's not even the AFC East, it's the Patriots and everybody else. It's always been like that. Mm. Like, for the most part, for this century, it's going to stay like that, 4-game suspension or not. Patriots, Dolphins, Bills, Jets, and I think it's closer. I think the Jets make it competitive. I think it could be like as good as a competitive 6-10 or 7-9. 8-8 would actually mm-hmm. be a good start, but that's how I only base it pretty much because of the quarterbacks. I rank them by the yeah. quarterbacks in that division. So I agree with you, actually. Let's move on to the NFC East. And I think this is a hilarious story, Doom Radio. Hilarious. With this story with RG3. what the hell is going on in the nation's capital with Jay Gruden and Robert Griffin III? Now, before we even get to that, I know this is some guys that's – this is some key injuries. Like, now it's Paul the Titan. They were expecting big mm-hmm. things out of him. He's gone for the year. He got hurt in preseason. On the outside, we know – Pierre Garçon, we know Deshaun Jackson. I know Leonard Hankerson went to the Falcons. Let's see, who else is on that team? Alfred Morris is still the running back on that team. They added the left tackle from Iowa, Scherf, who's playing right guard. But the offensive line is trash, though, honestly. They look shaky, man. I'm watching some of these games in the preseason. But let's start with Robert Griffin III, man, and he got benched. Now, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. Now, what's your thoughts on the Washington Redskins? I know they added what's his name from the Saints, the linebacker, Junior Gallette, that outstanding linebacker from the New Orleans Saints. He's now on the Redskins. But what's your makeup of the Redskins?
I think they're still a mess. They've been a mess for a while. I thought RG3's rookie year was a sign that they were turning around, but obviously he got injured at the end of the year, came back, got injured again second year, didn't do anything, hasn't been doing anything at all. Their passing defense has been just atrocious the past few years. Alfred Morris, his stats are just going down each and every year, maybe due to the line. Or the quarterback play, I don't know. Late in games, Roy Helu was coming in because they were down and they needed a running back that could catch. Alpha Morris is pretty bad when it comes to hands. Helu is gone. Cialis Reed, Norwalk native, he's out with, I believe, an ACL for the year. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cialis Reed, yep. Yeah, he's gone for the year. I was really hoping that he could have got that number two spot. He actually filled in for Helu one or two games and did pretty well last year.
Helu's in Oakland now. Yep.
Yeah. Garçon and Jackson would have been great, but Cousins, don't see it happening. I mean, they're going to be fighting for, like, top five pick this year. That's their fight.
Even with Kirk Cousins and his backup McCoy getting the ball to Pierre Garçon, you know he's going to get a lot of looks his way. Andre Roberts is a decent possession receiver, and you know Deshaun Jackson is going to stretch the field. I don't think their outside threats is as bad as what many may think because of the team they are actually on. I just think the offensive line is atrocious. Now, Trent Williams is a Pro Bowl left tackle. But outside of that, they got nothing, man. I mean, nothing. Right now, they got a rookie right now playing right guard. Morgan Moses at right tackle. And then, of course, Leighton Steiger out there at center. Now that's just the offense. The offense is average. Alfred Morris is. I think Alfred Morris is okay. Even if his stats go down, I think he's still effective. He's their bell cow back. But defensively, because what's his name left the team? He got injured, but he's no longer on the team. He's on Tennessee now. Brian Arakpo, the best defensive player on that team is Ryan Kerrigan. But they added, Hatcher when they had Hatcher from the Dallas Cowboys. The secondary is a bunch of penalty flag type of guys. Deshaun Golston, Chris Culliver, former 49ers. Brashad Breeland came over from the Seattle Seahawks. And I can't believe D'Angelo Hall is still in the league. I'm surprised he's still on a team. It seems like he's been in the league forever, man. Forever. But there's nothing about this defense that I'm like, whoa, oh, my Redskins, ooh, I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
You
know? No, I totally agree. I mean, I feel they're one of those teams. 2 months ago when I did my breakdown division, I actually considered them a scrappy team. And I actually take that back now. I totally take it back with the injuries they got, with the RG3 call. I thought that was their hope for a decent season was him stepping up and making things happen. But I think it's maybe his fault. So he didn't step up. He's not the starting quarterback. I don't have any faith in Cousins. I would probably have more faith in Colt. I would probably have way more faith in Colt McCoy than Cousins. But, I don't, I feel that any team that sees them on the schedule, you have to respect them because they're a pro team, but you have to consider that you're going to beat them. You shouldn't go in that game thinking that there's going to be, like, a chance you're Cousins.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I'm with you on that. I think outside of division games, because I think they're still going to play teams within the division competitively, but once they get out of the outside of the division, teams are going to just mark them, man, just try to. I don't think it's going to be as easy as other teams may think it would be, but I think teams are going to look they're going to try to beat them, man. I mean, of course you're going to try to beat them for wins.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to respect them as they should. But, you know, at the same time, that could actually sneak up on people. I don't know if that may be the best or smart strategy. But let me ask you this, though. What are your thoughts as far as Jay Gruden's influence on the team? We know that him and RG3 didn't get along. You think the players on that team kind of respect that? Because I think a lot of that locker room stuff does carry on to the field and playing for your coach.
Yeah, with the guy, especially having Deshaun Jackson there, he's a loud mouth. He'll carry, like you just said, he'll carry that negativity out of the locker room right onto the field. And, he's also somebody that can influence others on the team. So I definitely feel that if they're having locker room issues, they really need to get resolved because they definitely have some, like, media troublemakers on that squad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, give us a score. 1 out of 10 for the offense, 1 out of 10 for the defense for the Washington Redskins.
Defense, no disrespect, but I'm giving them 6 on defense.
Okay.
Offense, just because they have Pierre Garçon and Alfred Morris and Deshaun Jackson, I'm giving them 7, just for that trio right there.
I'm with you, man. I agree. 7 for the offense, 6 for the defense. Let's not even discuss them again until we get to the end of the podcast. Let's move on to the birds, the fly, Eagles, fly, die, Eagles, die, however you want to say it, Philadelphia Eagles. You can talk about hatred for this division. Man, we could spend a whole podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. They had so many changes on this team. I don't even know if we could get to all of them. I'll try to get to all the highlighted ones as possible. We mentioned McCoy came over in the trade for Kiko Alonso. Byron Maxwell, cornerback, was a free agent signing from the Seattle Seahawks. They traded Nick Foles to St. Louis for Sam Bradford. They added Tim Tebow. Matt Barkley's still on the team. Jeremy Macklin's gone. I mean, let me put it like this, Doom Radio. I mean, there's so many transactions on this team. I don't even know where it is. It's so many. Evan Mathis is gone. Everybody knows this is the Bleed Blue Show. I'm a New York Football Giants fan. This is a New York Football Giants fan podcast based. With all that said, they could have put me at the general manager helm at Philadelphia Eagles, and I couldn't even do as bad as getting rid of all the players I could have stayed on this team. All the players, and they added DeMarco Murray. I give them that. They added Ryan Matthews. They still have Darren Sproles. Mm-hmm. But what's your thoughts on the Eagles, Chip Kelly? Are you making heads or tails of this? What's your thoughts on the Eagles, what they did in the offseason?
Just like you said, I think it's a mess. They're definitely all over the place. But the thing, because of Chip Kelly and his offense, I gave them a lot of respect for that Murray and Matthews pickup. And I really think they're going to try to pound the hell out of people with those two guys in that fast-paced offense and just wear teams out. And just to key on some guys, they picked up a speedster in the draft to try to fill those Deshaun Jackson shoes. Matthews is looking like a solid, like he's trying to take the number one spot, fill in Macklin's shoes. Don't think he'll be as great as Matt.
Uh-huh.
Think they have it. Quarterback, I mean, coin toss that. Is Sam Bradford going to play past week two is the real question.
See, I'm glad you even brought up his health, man. You don't think he's going to play the full season with Sam Bradford?
No. I didn't even understand straight. I was lost when they made that trade. I totally was.
What do you think about the way they designed the offense with Chip Kelly? Because the way they run operations – and the quarterback throws that read option thing, you think that mm-hmm. limits the probability of him getting hurt to a degree?
I never thought of it that way, to be honest with you. You just brought up a great point. I think he could get hurt sliding. You know what I mean? I think he's only played maybe one season since he's been in the league. A full season. He's been injured every other year. When he plays, he does great. He's a very great quarterback when he plays. But that's the question. Is he going to play? Sanchez, he did well when he took over for Nick Foles the first game. And everybody was like, oh, look at Sanchez. Just was that he was on the Jets. Then he slowly started deteriorating. Tebow, I don't think he can jump in this year, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But if he sticks around, maybe we could see a great Tebow sighting next year. But not sold on that. So, I don't know. It's definitely like a coin toss when it comes to that quarterback spot.
Yeah, they still have Pro Bowl left tackle Jason Peters on the team. They got rid of mm-hmm. the guard, Evan Mathis, Todd Harriman's, who's been there a long time. Lane Johnson, who's a draft pick from Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma. He's out there at the right tackle position, and they still have Jason Kelce as center. They're going to speed up the game. That's what they're going to do. They still have the wide receivers. Like you said, they picked up the rookie, Nelson A. Let's put it like that. I ain't going to butcher it like that. They still got Austin Miles, they picked up as a free agent. I think he's going to be like the fourth wide receiver in Josh Huff. Now, it's really going to be about ground and pound with that team. DeMarco Murray coming over for the Cowboys. He's not running behind the great line he did in Dallas, and we'll get to them in a few. But I think he has that speed tempo with Chip Kelly. Let me get to the defense real quick. I think the defense is slightly underrated. I think because they have Connor Barwin at linebacker, they have Fletcher Cox, in the secondary, I think Malcolm Jenkins is okay when he came over from the Saints a couple of years ago, and of course Byron Maxwell, I think he got overpaid to a degree, honestly. I think he benefited off that great defense from Seattle. I think he's okay, but I think they did overpay for him. But I think the defense is okay. And, of course, Kiko Alonso, I think he's also underrated too because he's an Oregon Duck linebacker. He missed a year with Buffalo because I think he tore his ACL. But before that, he was a monster. He was a tackling machine for the Bills. What's your thoughts as far as the defense for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Like you said, I always feel that they are underrated. They do have some mental games, though, where all of a sudden, like, they looked, you know, great one game, and all of a sudden there's, like, blown coverage here and there, and, like, you know, they give up some points in the next game or two. But outside of that, I definitely think they're a solid D. A lot of people do, like, underrate them because, like I said, I feel they have more mental mistakes rather than they're just, like, not talented. And I think the offense helps. Even though it's a fast-paced offense, I think it puts pressure on the other offense to be like, hey, we need to either slow the game down or we need to keep up to their pace because, you know, they're putting up points fast. So I definitely think their offense plays a part on, you know, further defense almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you, what you're saying, man. I think the defense, if I had to say a little bit, I think they're going to be okay. When I say okay, I'm talking about either middle of the pack or somewhere between 15 and 20 in total defense. I don't think it's going to be all that bad. I think they're all right. I think they're okay. I mean, it could be a lot better, but I think for what they got, they'll be all right. I think the safety play is going to be key with them with Malcolm Jenkins, and whether the Thurman III, when he didn't play at all for the Giants, it seems, whether they have him at cornerback or safety position. They look good in the preseason, but I don't know how much stock anybody wants to put in the preseason. But, hey, Sam Bradford in his preseason game versus the Packers in Green Bay, went 10 for 10 in that his game. The defense, with Cox and Cedric Thornton, and D'Amico Ryans, he's been on and off. Connor Barwin, he's been played the Pro Bowl 11 for that defense. Brandon Graham, he's kind of underachieved for the Eagles. I think they'll be all right, man. Defense. Well, that's a bad thing to say because I don't want them to be all right. I want them to stink. But to be objectively fair, I think they will be okay. I think they're the most wild card team in the division. Not only when I say wild card, like unknown. We don't know what to expect as far as are they going to make the playoffs or not the playoffs. I don't know. They're the most that's the word I'm looking for. Mysterious team. I don't know if they're going to be 10-6 or 6-10. I have no idea. I'm going to wait to my pick until we do all the teams in the division. But offensively, defensively, can you give us a score, Doom Radio, and add anything else you want to add about that head coach, Chip Kelly?
I would say defense, I want to give them a 7. Offense, I'm going to give them an 8. And I think Chip Kelly's an all right guy.
defense, I would give him a 7 also. That offense, they have a bunch of change of pace backs. They got a bunch of backs that can do a little bit of different things. And they don't need great quarterback play. I think it's 7. I think the offense is 7. But I don't think they're going to have a lot of mistakes. I think they're going to do what they do. I don't think teams have even figured them out yet. They were 10-6 last year, and they still didn't get into the playoffs. Well, it sucks for them. let's move on to the next team. That's the Dallas Cowboys. Without further ado, when we talk about the Cowboys, you know Jerry Jones is the owner. You know the quarterback is Tony Romo. But this is the best offensive line in football. I think we can all agree to that. Do you agree with that, Doom Radio, or do you disagree with that statement?
We're on the same page as trench work, okay?
Offensive line, they're loaded. They have, like, first-round draft picks, like three of them. Tyron Smith, when he came over from Southern Cal, from right tackle to left tackle a couple of years ago. Travis Frederick, the first-round draft pick. They got Zach Martin in the draft from Notre Dame. Doug Free, Ronald Leary. I mean, this is a very, very good offensive line. But here's the question. Who the hell is the running back?
That is the question. And I have no faith in
any
of those running
backs. And I love it, by the way. But go ahead. The running back from Philadelphia, right, by the way. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. McFadden, he's like the Sam Bradford of running backs. He ain't playing no 4 year. He got hurt in, like, training camp. He got hurt warming up. The dude ain't making
I think he got hurt coming off the plane going to Oxnard, California. I think he got
right?
hurt coming off the plane,
yeah.
man.
It ain't happening. You know, it was a nice thought with his speed, and if he could hit the hole and just hit, you know, just take off. Yeah, it would have been crazy to see that, but it's not gonna happen. Joseph Randall, he is a complimentary back. I can't see him taking the lead. I don't think that he can do what DeMarco Murray did. No, he's just not a guy that you can give the ball to three times, you know, a series and get a first down. I don't think he could do it. Dunbar, once again, complimentary back. Yeah, he's good for coming in like a series for two plays and giving your starting running back a rest. But once again, giving him the ball 15, 20 times a game, I would expect 70 yards. They have this rookie that they got in free agency, I believe, after the draft. They're trying to hype him up. Haven't really heard anything, seen anything. It's just more of a rumor. Don't know. Not impressed either with that. So their running game, no faith at all.
Okay, so we know the weapons on the outside. Des Bryant, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley. Tight end Jason Witten has been there forever. Gavin Escobar, the other tight end. The weapons is pretty good on this team. They have a clear cut number one, a clear cut number two, a clear cut number three. Wow. They have a Hall of Fame tight end. They still have Romo, and I think Romo. Here's my thing. Let me be very fair when I say this. Giant fans may not like this, but oh fucking well. I'll say it, and I'll be honest. I don't think Tony Romo is as bad as what people have made him out to be the last couple of years. I think he's been very efficient, as a matter of fact. I still say Eli Manning over him at the end of the day, but however, Tony Romo is not as bad what people make him to be. And that's just being fair. The stats don't lie. The numbers don't lie. However, let's say that however, that run game that has protected him last season, we're going to see what he's about because he's kind of like a Brett Favre type of quarterback. You do not know what you're going to get without him with the spinneroonies and dancing back there in the backfield trying to get open to throw a pass. I think this is the year he may take a step back. What are your thoughts on Tony Romo?
I totally agree with you. I feel that the running game last year shielded him, just like you said. There was even a stat a year or two ago that when Murray did get the ball 20 times or more, Romo's stats were better and they won. But when he got under 20 carries a game, Romo's stats were worse and they lose. So let's see if that's true now. Like just like you said, without that run game shielding him. I think he's going to have the ball too many times in his hands, and that's going to be a problem for the Cowboys. I think he's good when he has the ball when he needs it. But I don't think he's that great of a quarterback when he has the ball too much.
Gotcha. I agree. Let's skip over to the defense at the side of the ball. And they added Gregory Hardy from the Carolina Panthers, who's actually going to eat, I believe, that four-game suspension. It was once 10 games. Now it's down to four because of the off-the-field stuff that he was going through. Sean Lee comes back from ACL injury, the linebacker. But I think the cornerbacks is not good, though. Brandon Carr got overpaid. When he came over from Kansas City, Morris Claiborne, when he was drafted out of LSU, I don't think that kind of worked out. I think Barry Church is okay as a strong safety. What's your thoughts as far as the Dallas Cowboys defense?
No faith in their defense. I don't fear their defense. Once again, I think that was shielded by DeMarco Murray last year. They had a lot of time to be rested. They weren't on the field that much because the offense was really controlling the ball well. And once again, you know, they were rested. They kind of went out there and did their part, and they knew they were going to get 7 minutes rest with DeMarco Murray just running the ball 40 times a game. That's not going to be there this year. I know it's a new defense, not the same defense as last year, but I just don't have any faith in it. I think there's going to be a lot of holes. I don't think they have the talent to match up against receivers in their own division, basically Odell Beckham and I'll even say Matthews and Nelson A. Don't think they have the talent for that. No faith in their defense at all.
What about the defensive line for the Dallas Cowboys? You added Randy Gregory from Nebraska. He kind of dropped in the draft, and this is what the Cowboys do. They take risk picks and pick up guys who are controversial guys off the field. Let's after game four when the suspension is over for Greg Hardy, how dangerous this team defense could be? You say you have no faith in the defense, but what about the ceiling for the defense? What about Greg Hardy? Yeah, Randy Gregory. DeMarcus Lawrence on that defensive line, Jeremy Mincy. That rotation between the defensive ends and the D tackles and the linebackers. What's your thoughts as far as the defense? You don't think when Greg Hardy comes back, this defense could be above average? Or what's your thought?
I don't think he'll have the impact that he has on the Panthers. He came from a good defense. I mean, even when Hardy went out, they were still a good defense. You know, he had Kukli back there. He had a solid D line. He doesn't have that in Dallas. I don't think he's a player to just turn a defense around by itself. You know, I think he's a great player. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but I definitely think he benefits from being around other great talent also.
Okay. I'm actually going to disagree to a degree. I understand what you said about the impact of how Carolina's defense was without him. I think Gary Hardy is a difference maker. I really do. I saw it firsthand as a Giants fan, watching him play against my team, dominating offensive lines. He's dominant. And he wasn't really expected to be that when he came out of, I think he came out of Ole Miss, but one of those Mississippi schools. But he was pure dominant, man. He's a load. And there's a reason why the team knew that he's going to be suspended, took the 10 games, and been fortunate to get it cut down 6 games to make it 4. But how far does the Cowboys go, in your opinion? Just a sentence. The Dallas Cowboys go as far as the what?
They go as far as third seed in the NFC.
Wow.
That's how much faith
my
I have
outfit, I have actually I feel that the team is strength is definitely the offensive line. I think Romo still is going to have enough time to pass the ball there. I just think the run offense has taken a lot of notches back because they have a bunch of change of pace backs and a bunch of injury prone back. I don't think they're going to be as effective as what they were last year when they went into the playoffs and made it to the second round. Offensively, defensively, score for the Dallas Cowboys?
7 on defense and 8 on offense.
Offense is an 8 because I can't discredit Des Bryant's ability. He's a top 5 wide receiver. He has a complimentary receivers with him. I think Terrence Williams is he's capable to make some good catches. He not only makes catches, but makes catches and makes yards after the catch. Cole Beasley, he's kind of like that stout wide receiver that what Brady had with Welker and Edelman. He's one of those guys that gets those first down conversions. And of course, you know Jason Witten is going to get you some first downs on a key first down,
yeah.
Key third down. You know he's going to get you that. Offense is an 8. Defense is it's not a 6. It's about a 7. When, especially when Greg Hardy's there, and I think Randy Gregory is going to be, he's going to make an impact, make a case for top 5 defensive player, a rookie of the year. So I'm a roll with that. So that's the Dallas Cowboys, and this is the 32nd team, Doom Radio. Last but certainly not least, the New York Football Giants. That's my squad. Let's get right into it. I'll let you be first. You're the visitor. The guys know how I get down with my own team. Well, what's your thoughts on the New York Football Giants?
All right. This will probably be the first time I've been on your show where I'm not going to really be the villain here and just
yeah,
purely
right.
knock the Giants.
Oh, here you go.
But,
here you go.
I have to say I like – your receivers. I mean, who can't like, Odell Beckham Jr.? He's an amazing player. Victor Cruz is coming back. I'm really interested to see what happens there. Randall, definitely that third option. I'm really not. I feel this is one team where I think their passing game will help their running game. And I really like, even though I'm bitter about it, the addition of Shane Vereen. I think it's going to be a great third down package for you guys. Are you going to hand it off to him? Are you going to dump it to him out the backfield? I think it gives you a really good option in the red zone. I really think you guys are going to be like a pass-heavy team, but you have the weapon to be that type of team.
We're going to have to beat that this year, Doom Radio. This offensive line is so bad. And it's not. We have a running theme on the Bleed Blue Show, Sunday's New York Giants roundtable shows every Sunday, and, of course, the postgame shows after each Giants game, and, of course, the pregame shows, the preview shows, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. during the season, Eastern Standard Time. I had to put that plug in there for the Football Giants. But here's Doom Radio. Will Beatty, it started off like this. Will Beatty, he hurts himself in weightlifting. Who the fuck does this shit? But anyway, he hurts himself. Our right tackle, who we drafted 10th overall out of the Miami University, he's forced to go to left tackle. That will be Eric Flowers. Right now, we are scrambling for offensive linemen. It really starts with the offensive linemen. If we could, we know Eli Manning is a statue back there. He can't be mobile to throw the ball. Although he is an NFL Ironman, he's a rubber man. He's a Manning. He's made of rubber, meaning he could take a hit and keep on ticking. If the line could sustain their blocks, the Giants have the most upside in the division, I believe. And that's not even being biased. That's just being objective. Because if the offensive line, because of the crap they have done in the preseason, and I'm hoping Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, and head coach Tom Coughlin put the training wheels on what we saw, that horse crap with the first-string offense, if they could put it together as far as holding blocks, passing, they will win the division. But that it all depends on Flowers, Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg, Jeff Schwartz, and I think they're going to move Bobby Hart, the right tackle. He played 3 years at Florida State. They got to start him at right tackle over Marshall Newhouse, who was a free agent offensive lineman that came over from Cincinnati Bengals, former Green Bay Packer. The offensive line isn't great, Doom Radio. I have to be fair, man. It's not great. Now, the tight ends is a work in progress. It's by committee. It's going to be a combination of Daniel Fells and Adrian Robinson, and I know they had a lot of things with Jerome Cunningham that they did like in camp. Eli, what's your thoughts on Eli Manning, man? And be nice. You talking about my? No, I'm just. What's your thoughts on Eli Manning?
I mean, I can't knock Eli. He beat us twice in the Super Bowl, so it's hard to, he's a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's done it when he needs to. He definitely has his downers. He still does that thing when he throws an interception, he puts his head down kind of thing. It looks all pouty. But I definitely think with what he has, especially in Odell Beckham, I think that's forget a security blanket. It's like the, you know, blanket of invisibility. It's like, oh, I can just throw it up and this guy's going to, like, do a backflip and catch it with his pinky. I mean, he is just a mega weapon. You know what I mean? It's like, it's literally like Calvin Johnson in his prime, you know? Because Calvin's getting up there, and Odell Beckham, man, he is definitely something special. And I think that if we're going to see something like some great numbers from Eli, it's going to be because of that, and definitely because Victor Cruz comes back full strength, which he's a number one receiver normally, and playing against the number two corner can be super deadly.
I actually look at that a little bit differently, Doom Radio. I'll reiterate what I repeated on the Bleed Blue show on our New York Football Giants roundtable. If the Giants offense is going to be successful in this thing, Cruz actually has to be the number three receiver. They've kind of put the training wheels on him as far as that disgusting knee injury he had week five versus Philadelphia last year on national television. He's got to be the number three reason. And because he's the number three because of his injury, I don't think Cruz is going to be Cruz, man. I think mentally that injury is going to take over a year to even just get over mentally. Now, I ain't even saying physical. I think physically he's going to be okay. But mentally, I don't know. I don't care how many Instagram videos he puts out there or YouTube flicks to see how well he is doing. At the end of the day, he has to be number three because number two, Ruben Randle has to step up and be number two if the Giants are going to even have a shot winning this division, because there's not going to be a wild card coming out of this division. It's going to be either a division winner or nobody else. That's what it's going to be. So it's either NFC East or bust. Let me get to the defense. The defense is pure garbage. Now, we know Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, when I say pure garbage, I mean we were third from last, third in total defense. I mean, we added back former defensive coordinator and Super Bowl champion, by the way, Steve Spagnuolo from 2007 season. Now, the defensive line is not going to get it done. Now, I have faith in Jonathan Hankins, that defensive tackle. Jason Pierre-Paul was somewhat of a game changer because he is the one guy on that defensive line you may have a game plan for. We don't even know what to expect after that firecracker incident, okay? Now, you have Robert Ayers, who hasn't played a full season. Colin Jenkins, I still don't know why he's still on the team. We drafted a rookie from UCLA. I'm not even going to butcher his name. Doom Radio, we'll call him 00 for the sake of not butchering his name. The linebackers, we have a bunch of linebackers. They're not all world linebackers. I think Devin Kennard is a second-year player from Southern California. I think he's going to do some good things. John Bisa can't stay healthy on the field. But I think because of our depth at linebacker, we're suspect. We're okay, but we're suspect. We're decent. Jamel McClain, who played a full season, had over 100-something tackles. John Beeson, I don't think he's going to play a full year. He'll maybe play most. We had Jonathan Cassis come over from the Patriots and JT Thomas. What's your thoughts on my Giants defense?
I definitely can say that I'm not too impressed, but I'll say that I got more faith in them than I do the Cowboys. And it's more because they are the Giants. And it's hard to sit there and just be like, oh, their defense is going to be garbage. It's, you know, when you see, to me, when I see that blue, I automatically think LT, you know, Stram, you know, just, you know, even Jay, you know, even Tucker, even though he's still in the league, those images come to my head when I think of that defense. And it's hard not to think of them as having at least a decent defense. They've definitely been
getting bad, dude. They've been bad.
The what? Yeah, I was going to say, they've been getting knocked pretty hard for having a bad defense by a few different channels. A lot of people have been knocking them. But to me, I think, especially with that offense, that all of a sudden that defense can look a little bit better. Because if you look at some Peyton Manning's defenses, you know, they had, what, Freeney and, what, Mathis, and then some okay guys behind those guys. And just because they were, you know, ahead by two touchdowns, they knew they were going to throw more, all of a sudden the defense looks all right. It looks pretty good. And I think if Eli can emulate something like that with that offense, even though, you know, your line is not the greatest, but if you could get up a few scores and now they have to throw more, you know what they're doing, and, you know, you can kind of scheme around that, I think they'll be a decent defense.
Let me add also cornerbacks Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Princeton McNamara. They drafted the safety, Landon Collins, in the second round, actually going up to get him. They added actually Stevie Brown back into the mix after he got released by the Houston Texans and has been with the Giants a couple of years. They actually got him back for cheap, so we'll see what this defense. 1 out of 10 for the New York Football Giants, offense and defense.
Offense, I got to give him an 8. I wish I could give him a 9 if better running back and the offensive line was better. And I'll give him a 7 for defense.
I'll give an 8 for the offense. The defense, since it's my team, I could be a little bit crucial and more critical. A 6. Until I actually see better, I'm giving them a 6. I don't think the defense is that good. And unless they show me something throughout the regular season for them to be better, the defense, who was 3rd from last in total defense last year, there's nothing really, especially with JPP and that fireworks crap he went through after the 4th. There's nothing really to me to hang my hat on with the defense. So let's rank them, 1 through 4 NFC East.
I'm going to go Eagles, then 1, Giants 2, Cowboys 3, and Redskins last.
You know what? As painfully as me to say this, I could change my pick on this podcast and do that on my own show. I really want to bank on optimism, but honestly, I think you're right, man. Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Redskins. I think you're right, man, and I got to be fair. I hope I'm wrong, Doom Radio. We're almost out of time, Doom Radio. We got about 2 minutes left. I hope I'm wrong. We got to do this again, get some predictions, wins, losses, and maybe on a future podcast. We got a couple minutes left. Give us a quick how we can find your content real quick, your audio, how we can find you, Doom Radio.
Yep, I'm going to blogtalkradio.com/Doom Radio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Doom Radio. And those are our two spots. We're filling out our schedule, and me and Doug are pretty much ready to rock and roll this week and going forward.
Yeah, shout outs to Dougie. I haven't talked to him in a while. I'll give him a holler sometimes. Shout outs to Doug. Shout outs to you, Doom Radio. That will be the conclusion of the AFC East, NFC East divisional breakdown Bleed Blue Show with Doom Radio. You can hear the archives of the other divisions, AFC North, NFC North, AFC West, NFC West, AFC South, NFC South. And now you can add this to your collection library before the start of the season with Doom Radio. The Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show. You've got to go to the Facebook, the Bleed Blue Show fan page to see what the stakeholders are saying on there for the Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, and sports in general. Go to Twitter at Bleed Blue Show. Interact with the Bleed Blue Show on Twitter with live updates on the games and future scheduled shows. Instagram for the Bleed Blue Show. We're live at these tailgates and the events with the fans. Google Plus. BleedBlueShow.com. Go to BleedBlueShow@gmail.com. Hey, Doom Radio, it's been fun, man.
Man, I definitely enjoyed it, man. Thanks for the invite. And I loved it.
Absolutely, man. And, of course, you know, New York Football Giants every Sunday on the off-season post-games after every Giants game. And, of course, the pre-game Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll discuss NFL in general. We'll discuss your team if you call up. So out of time, Doom Radio, we're out of time, but bleed blue.
All right, sounds good, man.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Yeah. Can